Father, I thank you for all your children that are here in this moment, and those that are listening by replay later on. Lord, I call upon your name and your spirit even now in Jesus' name. Move upon our hearts, Lord, and show us what you want us to see. Cause our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to understand what it is, Lord, that you are telling us even at this time. And I pray and declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding even to us today. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, let thy name be glorified in the message of the Lord. Let our hearts be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, you know, we've covered many, many ways. It was important for us first to cover the ways in which God can speak to us so that when we are asking the question, you know, how do I know God's will for my life or God's purpose for my life, or how do I know God's leading me into this thing, then now you know, because you've seen all the various ways in which the Lord can speak to us. And, you know, we talked yesterday about not boxing God into a corner, that this is the only way in which he must speak or can speak, or this is the way he has spoken to me in the past, and therefore that's the way I'm looking for. God can speak through any and many of these ways that we've talked about. Today, I want to talk about living a life in the prophetic. That's basically walking in the spirit. The Bible calls it that, you know, walking in the spirit and so on. And why that is so important, I want to talk about that today. And then we're going to look at the, you know, how to really put ourselves in a position where the God's voice can get through to us. It's basically walking in the spirit. We'll also be talking about how to discover the direction in which God is leading us. Some people call it God's purpose in my life, God's calling for my life, this and this and that. So we'll talk about some of these things, see how much of it we can cover today. I want to start with walking in the spirit. Well, again, we go back to the beginning. Adam, when he was made in the image and likeness of God, we are told in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 that when the Lord formed the man, he breathed into him the breath of life. The man became a living soul. And we saw the things that ensued after that, how that Adam was in the spirit. Hallelujah. And he was able to hear directly from God, and he was able to know what God wanted him to do, and he was able to do it. And the Lord would bring to him at the beginning the animals and say, "Hey, Adam, what you gonna call this one?" And whatever Adam called it, that was the name of it till this day. And the knowledge of God that was upon him. We see also that he was one with God, basically, because he was made in the image and the likeness of God. We fast forward to many, many years later, after man had fallen from the glory of God, according to Romans 3 and 23. We had all now fallen from the glory of God. And then we see that people now struggle to get back into something that was so natural with Adam before the fall. At the early parts of this series or mini-series, we talked about, you know, in the nature of God. when we are walking in the Spirit, that's the nature of God, because that's how we were created. When we are not walking in the Spirit, that's not being natural, you know. So, whereas people now, we've twisted this thing upside down now. You know, if somebody does something that's like God today, we think of it as supernatural. Well, there's nothing supernatural about it. That's the way we're supposed to be. You know, if we live a life of holiness and walk in the Spirit, that should be a natural thing. It's how we should be. All the animals that God created, they do their thing. It's natural for the dog to be a dog and bark like a dog. It's natural for, you know, a cat to be a cat and meow or whatever, like a cat. It's unnatural for a dog to be behaving like a cat. So for us also, it should be unnatural for us to be behaving not like God. That's the one that should not be natural. I mean, it should be natural for us to just be like God. And, you know, that's what we've been talking about in this series. Just be like Him. Because that's what should be natural. Every seed and every tree after its kind. And man also was made in God kind. So we should be naturally like God. Praise God. And we talked about, you know, even Christ saying and referring to Psalm 82, where God said He called them gods, small g, to whom the word of God came. And Jesus Himself said, and the scripture cannot be broken. You know, so Jesus put a stamp on it that that scripture that says we are gods is true and it cannot be broken. Well then, well, let's walk like God. Let's talk like God. Let's behave like God. Let's act like God. Let's reason like God. that's really what walking in the prophetic is all about. When we talk about the prophetic, people are always thinking about, you know, somebody saying, thus saith the Lord. Well, yeah, that may be part of it. But thus saith the Lord is not what makes it prophetic. You know, it's a phrase. And in fact, because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't necessarily mean thus saith the Lord. You know, but, you know, the Lord has spoken. The Bible says the Lord gave the word, and great is the company that publishes it. The first the Lord speaks, then we publish it. And then sometimes we call that, that's, you know, what most people call the prophetic. You know, when we speak in the name of the Lord, for the Lord. But that's not the part, although I will allude to that a little bit. That's not the part that I really want to talk about. The part that I want to talk about is, you know, being in communion all the time with the Spirit of God. We're in that realm the whole time. Communicate. Now, Psalm 68:11, you know, tells us that God is the source of the word. See, the word of the Lord come from the Lord, and then we publish it. Most people are used to that piece as being the prophetic. The part that we may not be used to is the fact that we all can flow in that realm. Well, why? If you have the Spirit of God. I mean, what makes someone else to differ from you if we both have the Spirit of God? Now, I'm not talking about the gifts of God now, because God gives to each person as He wills. And those gifts are for the body ministry. Not talking about the gifts. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit all the time. because He is within us. The Spirit of God is within us. If we're walking in the Spirit, it's easier to hear from God, because, you know, we're already in His realm. If you're not in His realm, you have to struggle, you know, sometimes to hear His word, because you're not even in His realm. But if we're in His realm, it shouldn't be that hard at all. Now, there was a story in the Bible which I have referred to multiple times. In fact, you know, I'm pretty sure by now you guys can, you know, recount the story yourself, because I've spoken about it so many times. In the book of Exodus chapter 19, you know, this is what God said to His people. He's called out people. Now, therefore, Exodus 19 and 5, if ye will obey my voice indeed. That's all that God used to tell them in the Old Testament. Obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my voice. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then, see, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Now, these are the words that you should speak unto the children of Israel. A kingdom of priests, that's like a royal priesthood. Kingdom is royalty, and a priesthood, and these are people that stand before God. And, you know, 1 Peter 2:9 now takes it and said, well, you are that kingdom of priests. You are that royal people. But sadly, we saw this story that I said I've spoken about many times. How that initially, the people actually did say that all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Let's read that in verses 7 and 5 and 8 of Exodus 19. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And look at the response of the people initially. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And so Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said, cool, you know, I'll come unto thee in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told all the words of the people to the Lord, where they said, we will hear the Lord. Okay, well, they actually did want to hear the Lord initially, or they thought they would. But sadly, very sadly, you know, in the next chapter, after they actually heard and saw some phenomena, you know, around the voice of God, guess what they said? And all the people in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, these are the same people that said, we will hear the voice of the Lord. You know, initially, they removed and stood afar off. And they got away from the presence of God. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us. You know, I often said, I think that's the most tragic thing anybody can say in this whole Bible. How can you say, let not God speak with us? My goodness. Let not God speak with us, they said, lest we die. And so, how in the world they thought that if God spoke with them, they would die? I don't know. You know, but, you know, I say, well, if God doesn't speak to you, you will die. Because His word is the very life. Listen to how Jesus put it in John chapter 6 and verse 63. He's going to try to, you know, straighten people out. Instead of running away from the voice of the Lord or from the word of God, you better, you know, run to him and hear him. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Quickeneth means makes alive or continually keeping you alive. In other words, if you don't have that Spirit, you're dead. You know, the flesh profits nothing. Now, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. So without the life and the Spirit, the body is dead. Scripture tells us that. As the body in James, as the body without the Spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead. Now, Jesus is telling us that this word that, I mean, the words of God that he speaks, well, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. This is why we must, it's an absolute must, hear his word. In order for us to keep living, because it is, that's what keeps us alive, is what Jesus is saying here. And without that word from the Lord, our spirit will dry up and we'll be dead, spiritually speaking. So it was a strange thing that the people would think that God's word would kill them rather than give them life. Now, knowing therefore what Jesus says here, we must seek to walk in the realm where we are hearing God all the time. You got to take away anything that will prevent your spirit from hearing from God. You know, so, because that's what Jesus is saying here. In the flesh, it's nothing. It's not, there's no profit in the flesh. The only way that you stay alive, really, is connecting with God's Spirit, and that word is life. So, now, to hear the word of God, we must put ourselves in a position where we can listen. That'll be able to listen. You know, sometimes we can't listen because there's too much noise or too many distractions. So we've got to figure out how to get rid of the distractions. Some distractions could be, you know, just the activities that we are involved in, doing this, doing that, and so on. There may even be good things that we are doing, that we're involved in. You know, just like we see this story in Luke chapter 10, you know, when Jesus went into Martha's house with Mary. And Mary just sat down there. You can read that story in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Mary just said, wow, you know, Jesus come to my house. Oh, what a privilege. Now, Mary doesn't want to share Jesus with the crowd now. She wants Jesus all for herself. You know, I've got him to myself now. I'm going to sit right here. Hear these words. Ask him questions. No. You know, some of the things I've heard, which I didn't get a chance to, you know, to ask him about. Now I've got him one-on-one. Now, meanwhile, Martha is running around, you know, trying to be hospitable, which is a good thing. Jesus came into her house, you know, possibly with his disciples and all. So, I mean, somebody has got to serve them food, water, drink, all these things. So Martha is doing that. But she notices that Mary just sits down. And it's like, come and help me. She didn't even pay her attention. You know, because she's so focused on Jesus and just wants to have this moment. So Martha comes to Jesus and says, Master, would you tell my sister to help me? Why she leave me to do this serving alone? And Jesus looked at her with amazement, kind of. He's like, Martha, Martha, you are so encumbered with many things. Many things. Running around, serving the people, blah, blah, blah. You know, but your sister has chosen the one needful thing. Now, so that means that in all these things that we are doing, sometimes, even though they look good, they may not be the needful thing, you know, but when we choose the needful thing, what Jesus says, it is like staying in the presence of God. Praise God. Stay in the presence of the Lord. He said, well, she has chosen that and it will not be taken away from her. That's the needful part. To stay in the presence of God. And what do you do when you're in His presence? Well, it's all about hearing His word. And we've talked about, you know, coming away with the word of God in any encounter, you know, with God. Some people call it the supernatural. Well, the supernatural when we are not walking in the spirit. So it looks like it's some strange phenomenon. If you are walking in the spirit, it's a natural thing, natural realm. So let's not be thinking that the Spirit of God is supernatural, or, you know, walking with God is supernatural. And that ought to be the natural thing. You ought to walk with God, or to hear from God, or to talk with God. You know, the Lord is right there. Jesus said, I'll give you another comforter. I will be with you forever. You know, he'll guide you. Be right there with you. You talk to him, he talks to you. There's no need for us to think that, you know, if we hear from God, then that's some kind of supernatural thing. It is not a supernatural thing to hear from God. You know, now, some people use that as get an advantage over God's people. They say, well, you know, because that's what the people said. You go hear from us, I mean from God, and come tell it to us. And they removed away from the presence of God. So now, all of a sudden, they made Moses to be a prophet to them, and made Moses to be an intermediary. You hear from God and come tell us. God didn't intend that at all. He wanted them, all of them, to be a kingdom of priests that stood before him, just like Moses. But they said, no, we can't do it. You know, so, well, today we feed into, you know, people who are going to take advantage of you anyway. And then we feed into that. They're telling them that, well, you know, you hear from God and come tell it to us. And say, oh, okay, cool. So now, you know, they think that they've got something that nobody else has. You know, what is it that you have that nobody else has? I mean, who has an exclusivity on hearing from God? Now, so some of these merchandising prophets of today we have think they have that because we give them that power to think that, okay, they're the ones that can hear from God and then come tell it to us. What kind of thing is that? You all can hear from God. The anointing which you have received, I keep quoting that, 1 John 2:27, is no lie. The same anointing is true. And that anointing is with you, communicate with you, teach you, guide you, show you things to come. You don't need anybody else to tell you. You can hear it from God yourself. Now, this is what we want to emphasize today. It's not that God cannot speak to someone else to tell you something. But why? If you can hear it yourself, why do you need somebody else to tell you? Why can't you hear it yourself? I mean, challenge yourself next time your mind is drifting towards, well, I got to hear a word from, you know, a prophetic word over here, a prophetic word. You know, over there, somebody's got to speak to my life and all these things. You know, I don't know where all that comes from. You know, that's the way people operate these days. We're always looking for a prophetic word, somebody to speak into our life, somebody to do this and this and this. All these things are contrary to the scriptures. The scripture says you don't need any man to speak to your life. You know, you have the Spirit of God, and he will teach you all things. And you don't need that any man should teach it to you. So I want us to take a look at this verse. And I think we should probably even memorize this verse, you know, because it goes a key way to this. I mean, a long way into a key scripture for this lesson. 1 John 2:27. It's our memory verse for today. But the anointing which you have received of God, of him, abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as he hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now that's walking in prophetic, right? That verse right there summarizes it. He's teaching you, has taught you, to bring into your remembrance all the things that Christ has told you, all the role that the Holy Spirit will play in your life. Well, abide in him. He's no lie. He's the truth. And that's walking in the prophetic. Abide in him. Jesus said it himself in John chapter 15. You know, he said, look, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, well, then you are in a realm where all you have to do is just ask and it shall be done for you. Praise God. You know, that's John 15 and 7. This is not just tapping into someone else's anointing. Now, these are all the words and, you know, cliches and different things that people speak. They say, I want to tap into that anointing. Who's anointed? The anointing that you yourself has received is with you. No need to tap into somebody else's anointing. The anointing is in you and is with you and is no lie and is the truth. And even as he has taught you, you shall abide in him. That's what it says. You know, so next time you're trying to think of tapping into somebody else's anointing, well, why don't you tap into your anointing? The Holy Spirit is already with you. Praise God. Now, but we want to do more than just tapping. The very concept of tapping is the in and out. You tap and then you untap. You open the tap and then you close the tap. Yeah, what is all that? Let him flow. The flowing of the Spirit. That's what we want. We want to move from encounter to habitation. You know, encounter is when you go visit someone in their house, or your friend comes visit you. They spend a couple of hours, they leave, because they don't live there, and then they must depart after their visit is concluded. That's encounter. Habitation is the person that stays in the house. They're not going anywhere. That's where they stay. You know, so our experience has been encounter. You know, okay, I'm going to encounter God. And so we have these revivals, a 3-day revival, a 5-day revival, or whatever. And we come and encounter God. We have open heavens. We have these things. I mean, these are all the language that we use these days in the Pentecostals, Pentecostal realm. So it's our language. Open heavens, your season of encounter, all these things. But, you know, by definition, those things, those sayings are faulty. And they have a subliminal way of getting into our brain to think that we got to wait till the next revival. You got to wait till the next open heavens thing, and so on and so forth, before we can get from God. See, this in itself is a wrong concept, but this is what everybody's doing, you know. So, well, it's this great man of God has come, and we must go and get an encounter and experience God. And then when he leaves, then what? This is exactly what happened to the children of Israel. Because they wouldn't hear from God themselves. They couldn't live in the prophetic themselves. You know, when Moses was gone, God, they told him, well, go hear from God. So Moses went to hear from God. That's what they said. So, and then during the time that they told him to go hear from God, to come tell to them, during the time that he went away to do exactly that, only 40 days, Exodus 32, was only gone for 40 days. Already, their minds were corrupted because now there is no one to give them the word of the Lord. And Moses was the one always telling to them, but now Moses is not there. And so they said, they're looking around. We have nobody to tell us. Well, Aaron, make us gods. We don't know what has happened to this Moses. You know, that's what happens when people don't know how to hear from the Lord themselves. That's a danger. You know, when and I put it to people this way, and I released this message some time ago on this platform. And I said, you know, when the answer from God is delayed, what's next? Is it the golden calf? You know, now it's only delayed because we have not learned the ways that God is speaking to us. In the case of the children of God, children of Israel, rather, their way of hearing from God was through Moses. That's the way. That's the way that God would speak to them. That was their choice. So when Moses was not around, then God couldn't speak to them anymore because they said, well, we can't hear his words. So now they have to turn to the golden calf because there's no Moses. So let's not fall into that same pattern of error. You know, you're always looking for somebody else to tell you the word of the Lord. Now, first of all, that may have worked. Actually, it never worked for the children of Israel. You saw it. It never worked. But, you know, that may have been allowed. The times of ignorance, God winked at. So, time of ignorance. But there's no ignorance anymore. There is no excuse anymore for that kind of behavior. Now we have the Holy Spirit, the anointing which you have received is no lie. It's with you. Jesus said it himself multiple times. We read it in John 14, John 15, John 16, all the things he said the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. So once we recognize that, the Holy Spirit is actually now with us. You've got God, you see. God with you, Emmanuel. That's what his name. You know, Christ in us, the hope of glory, Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, he dwelleth with you at that time. Or they say, he shall be in you. And then he came and was in them. And today we have the Holy Spirit in us. I don't need to go look for Christ in heaven. Romans chapter 10 tells you that. You don't need to go look for him in the grave. The Holy Spirit is already there with you. The word of faith is right there inside you and in your mouth. And the Lord can communicate directly with you and you can engage him in the spirit directly because he's with you. That's what walking in the prophetic is all about. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you became a prophet. You know, it doesn't even mean that you have the gift of prophecy. You can prophesy whether or not you have the gift of prophecy. Paul was writing to the Corinthians and said, for you may all prophesy. Everybody can prophesy. Hallelujah. What does it mean to prophesy? Well, you speak the mind of God. That's what prophecy is. Yeah, I can prophesy. I prophesy all the time because I have the mind of Christ. I can speak the word of God, you know, and I can prophesy. I prophesy to my life. Most of my prophecy, my own prophecy is to myself, first of all. You know, I'm not going around trying to prophesy to somebody. I prophesy to myself. See? Said, I know that the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I speak the word of God to myself. You know, David did similar things like, my soul, why art thou cast down within me? I prophesy unto you, you know, arise, be stirred up. You know, I prophesy to himself. You can prophesy to yourself. All the time. Find all these beautiful words of life that God has spoken concerning you in the scriptures. and prophesy it to yourself on a daily basis. Yeah, those of you have heard the lessons around faith specs. That's what it's all about. You start with the see the scriptures. You are persuaded about it. That's the P. You embrace it. That's the E. And C is the confess. You prophesy it to yourself. Now, a lot of people, the way we think of prophecy is when somebody is telling somebody else something. I'm talking to you about something else today. You're telling yourself. You know, yourself, the word of God. That's right. You know, you tell yourself the word of God. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. And when the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind, you repeat it to yourself already. Hallelujah. I am the Lord that healed thee. Well, you take that, you prophesy it to yourself. Then you are walking in the prophetic. Praise God. So, you know, I'm making it, I'm simplifying it. You know, you know these words of life, which Jesus said. He said, these are the words that give you life, the spirit, what quickens. Well, now you have the life. Speak the life to yourself. You know, download. You know, people say download words. Well, you download it for yourself. What's all this downloading? Download it to yourself. You don't need anybody else to download for you. In the process of looking for somebody to download, you they may download all kinds of things on you. You know, so no. You stay with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And you have the Word. You have the Spirit. If you don't have the Word and you don't have the Spirit, then you need to do a lot of homework. This is where we are lacking. Because we're not willing to put in the time on our own. Paul told Timothy, study, show yourself, you know, look, if you're not willing to put in the time, then somebody is going to have an advantage over you. Yeah, they're going to be like, they are the ones that have the word of God, and they're going to proselyte and merchandise you, you know, because now they have the words, you don't. So if you need a miracle, you got to sow a seed, and they can deposit or download the anointing upon you, and you can tap into that. And all this stuff that they say, you know, all in the name of, you know, they have the word that you don't have. Why not? Why don't you have it? What makes them any better than you? This is the way I see it, you know, in my life is, look, I'm a child of God. God can speak to me directly. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I am his sheep. I hear his voice. I don't need to hear his voice. In fact, Jesus said, they will not follow strangers. You know, all that ever came before me and so forth, they are thieves and robbers. Follow them. Follow me. Hallelujah. You know, so, and look, a real man of God will direct you to Christ. That's it. Paul said, look, for we preach not ourselves, you know, but, you know, when they preach themselves, then you can know that the light is not in them. If they speak not according to this word of not preaching themselves, then the light is not in them. Get away from that stuff. Instead of us going around trying to do that, walk in the Spirit yourself. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill, you know, the lust of the flesh. But I'm not even talking about that today, you know, but I'm talking about all aspects of our life. Be walking in the Spirit. That's what walking with God is all about. Walking in the Spirit. God is the Spirit. John 4:24. I mean, you can't walk with God in the flesh. It's not possible because God is Spirit. The only way to walk with God is you have to be in the Spirit. And when you are not in the Spirit, then you are not walking with God because God is Spirit. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. You know, if God is Spirit and you are flesh, there is no connection. So you got to get away. That's what Jesus was saying in John 6:63. Get away from the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. Enter into the Holy Spirit realm and stay there. Abide. Hallelujah. Abide, abide, abide. You know, even at best in the Old Testament, the best of them, they could go in Even the high priest, who was the, I don't know, the pinnacle of the anointed one, if you want to call it that, you know, he could only go in once a year. Can you imagine that? You know, going only once a year, and then he can't even stay there. You know, that's the experience. That's the level of their, you know, journey from the profane place to the outer court, you know, to the holy place, to the most holy place. And, you know, there's refinements. Gentiles are in the profane place. The generality of the Jews are in the outer place. You keep, you know, pruning them down, get the crowd, keep getting smaller. Well, only the priests can get into the holy place, okay? And so, and then even the priests themselves, well, only one of them, the most holy place can, I mean, the high priest can get into the most holy place. Keep pruning down, keep pruning down, keep pruning down. And when you get there, you can't stay there because of iniquity. And they must come out again and repeat it next year. Is that what really God wants? His in and out thing? Is that what he wants? Look, that's not what he wants. God wants us in his presence. Come up, Peter. What are you doing down there, Adam? You know, where are you? Now, the moment that Adam departed from the glory of God, fell from the glory of God, he lost that presence. God will have to be looking for him. God wasn't looking for him before. Where he was, God was. Where God was, he was. They were united. But when he departed from God's presence because of sin, God was looking for him. Where are you? God is now looking all over the place trying to find him. What are you doing down there when the Lord is here? Now, ladies and gentlemen, Adam did not fall from heaven. As I've said it multiple times on this platform, he fell from the glory of God. It was in heaven. From the glory of God. Now, we must get back to the glory of God, not get back to heaven. You know, we must get back to the glory of God here on earth. And so that's what we must do. But now the church is waiting to go to heaven. You know, as if, you know, that's the target. That's not the target. The target is the glory of God, which is where Adam fell from. According to Romans 3:23, falling short of the glory of God. We must get back into the glory of God. And according to John 17:15, Jesus clearly said the target is not heaven. Prayed in that prayer. He said, Father, I pray not that you take them from the earth world and bring them to heaven. No, but keep them right here while they are here. They got a role to play. Actually, heaven's target is the earth. Quite unlike what people think. They think our target is to go to heaven. Well, heaven's target is the earth. Heaven wants to make earth look like heaven. Colonize the earth. Make it look like heaven. That's what God wanted. And even the new earth and new Jerusalem, all these things, you know, when it's said and done, it's coming down out of heaven to the earth. You know, all the activity is right here on earth. And we must figure out now how to live on the earth right now in his presence. You know, without necessarily going in and out. That's what walking in the prophetic is all about. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the house of my God, and he shall go no more out, saith the Lord. You know, you go in and out. No, God doesn't want all that. You know, he wants you to stay. Praise God. In Exodus, you know, chapter 33, we learned that God was speaking to Moses as a friend speaketh to his friend, you know, face to face. I mean, that was a good thing. I mean, Moses was really, you know, but he was face to face. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. You can read it there. The Lord spake to Moses face to face. That was a great thing. Because, I mean, nobody else attained to it in the generation of Moses. But still, it was face to face. You know, it's still, the Lord is here and Moses is here. It's still face to face. It's not still union. It's still face to face. There's still a gap. If it's face to face, it's still a gap. With the Holy Spirit now, there's no gap. He abides in you. There's no gap. It's no face-to-face anymore. He's in you. You are in him. We're one together. It's not face-to-face. Now, the level of friend, the maximum they got to in the Old Testament, except for people like Enoch, the maximum they got to was friend. I mean, Abraham was a friend of God. Moses was a friend. I mean, it's face-to-face. That's friendship. It's face-to-face. You speak to your friend. It says here, you know, the Lord spake to Moses face-to-face as a man speaketh to his friend. So friend level, when you're in the friend zone, when you're in the friend zone with God, you are face-to-face at best. He wants us to transition into the sonship zone, wherein Jesus said, John 10 and 30, as a son, you are one with the Father. That's right. That's the prophetic. You know, we're not in the friend zone. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking funny to some of you. You're not in the friend zone. Friend zone? No. We're in the sonship zone. We're one with the Father. Jesus said it to Philip. Don't you believe that the Father is in me and I am in the Father? I mean, why are you asking me to show you the Father? He that has seen me has seen the Father. This is the sonship zone, not the friend zone now. Well, friend zone is good. You are no longer servants. You are now friends because I've told you the will of the master. Well, that's friend zone. But we need to move from friend zone, which is face to face, to in and in. He's in me. I'm in him. You know, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Abide in me. If you abide in me and I in you, you ask whatever you will. You know, at that time, you are like God. You can do whatever you want, basically. You know, because now you are in that realm. And do whatever you want doesn't mean do something contrary to him. You know, you've already, your mind is saturated with his will. You can only do what the Father does. Jesus said it himself, John 5:39, the Son can do nothing except what the Father does. Because it's the Father that is doing it in him. You know, and my doctrine is not mine. All these things that Jesus said is where we are and how we function when we are doing, living a life that's in the prophetic. It's still the same thing as walking in the spirit. It's just a way of making it sound, religious or I don't know, walking the prophetic. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, these words that we use today is make us look big or something. Walking in the prophetic is nothing more than walking in the spirit, which Bible already teaches. But we make it sound good by saying we're walking the prophetic. We've got a prophetic anointing and this and that. Well, you may have the prophetic anointing, but you can't have it unless you have the Holy Spirit. You can call it Holy Spirit anointing. All this prophetic stuff is good. But let me tell you about a little bit about prophetic. Prophetic, when someone speaks in the name of the Lord, this is what we think is prophetic today, but let's talk about that for a minute. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, we're told that if a prophet speaks something that does not come to pass, then that is the thing that the Lord has not spoken. So don't even be afraid of him. Don't worry about it, because he has spoken it presumptuously. That's right. You know, so when a prophet shall begin to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, you know, then what? The Bible says then, you know, they have spoken presumptuously. So let's read it. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let me just read from verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of any other God, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, well, how do I know the word which the Lord has not spoken? That's a good question. And people have been asking this forever. You know, see, I mean, these are people who follow prophets, okay? So how do you know whether that thing that prophet said is from the Lord or not? So, well, okay, I'll give you a simple. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord and the thing does not come to pass, then that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, because the Lord does not make predictions. A prediction may or may not come to pass. God doesn't make predictions. God has foreknowledge of everything, and he tells you what he has already seen. So there is no missing. There's no 99%. It's 100%. Now, if the prophet speaks something in the name of the Lord and it doesn't come to pass, even though they say, thus saith the Lord, well, that's the thing which the Lord has not spoken. He said, thou shall not follow him. Don't be afraid of him, because he has spoken it presumptuously. But he's still a prophet, but he has spoken it presumptuously. Now, prophets do speak in the name of the Lord, but sometimes they speak what the Lord has not said, and yet they say the Lord has said. And that's something you must know. There's a story in 1 Kings 13. I've told this story on this platform a few times. A young prophet was told to go and do something somewhere, and when you finish, don't go into anybody's house. Don't turn by the wayside. Just come back the way you went, and that's it. And so, when he finished, the king, who was an unbeliever, tried to persuade him. He had his antennas up when he was an unbeliever. The unbeliever could not deceive him and cause him to go against the word of God. Say, no, God already told me that. I'm not doing it. So the king could not persuade him. But now here comes a big brother, an older prophet, a brother that everybody, you know, knows and respects. He's a man of God. So now he comes and tells the man, he said, well, the Lord spoke to me that I should bring you to my house. See, but he lied. And it's a very interesting story. You know, he lied. Prophets can lie, you know. Does that make them a false prophet? I don't know. He was a prophet. The Bible didn't call him false prophet. The Bible said he was a prophet. But he lied. You know, he was in the flesh at that moment. And he lied and spoke to the man that, well, the Lord spoke to me. And this young prophet, who was careful when an unbeliever was trying to make him go against the word of the Lord, now he let his guard down, because he's an older, well-known prophet, comes to him, tells him something in the name of the Lord, which the Lord didn't tell him. And he follows. He said, well, and while they were sitting at meal, this is a very funny story and tragic too at the same time. While they were sitting at meal, the same prophet that deceived him brought the word of the Lord judgment against him. And now he said, because you have disobeyed the Lord in the thing where I told you, don't come back, don't go eat, don't do this in anybody's place, say, your carcass will fall by the wayside. And I brought judgment on him. Well, now, why did that happen to that young man? Of course, this story, the tragic part of this story is that there was no asking for forgiveness. There was no begging for God's mercy. I don't know why in the Old Testament, well, maybe because Christ hadn't come. So they always just, whenever God just said something, they just took it like that. But the few of them that learned to ask for God's mercy, the story of Nineveh in Jonah chapter 4, the story of even Ahab, who was the most wicked king in 1 Kings 22, when the judgment came and they humbled themselves before the Lord had mercy or prolonged the judgment. Kick it down the road a little bit. But this one prophet, he just took it. And of course, the lion met him and slew him. But the point I'm making here is this. Somebody deceived him by saying, thus saith the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, just because I say thus saith the Lord doesn't mean it's thus saith the Lord. You can say thus saith the Lord all you want, but if it is not according to this word, there is no light in it. Isaiah 8 and 20. So if you think walking in the prophetic means hearing a prophetic word from somewhere, well, think again. Even when you hear that word, you better check it. Give it the litmus test, which is check it against the word of God. You know, is that the thing that the Lord has spoken? Well, and then in Deuteronomy chapter 13, he says, well, even when, because in this Deuteronomy 18, he said, well, if they say it and it doesn't come to pass, then you know the Lord has not said it, because God doesn't play games like that. But what about even if it comes to pass? Suppose the prophet says something in the name of the Lord and it comes to pass. And then, well, after that, he tells you to do something contrary to the word of God. Now, you already have confidence in him, because every time he tells you something is right on the money. You know, so I mean, there's a lot of seers on this platform called Clubhouse. They tell you something that seems to be right on the money. You know, and then they now tell you something else that is contrary to the scriptures. And what do you do? Well, when he says, let us go and serve other gods, which you haven't known, or let us do something contrary to the scripture, you know, which they do. But because they've built up your confidence in them by telling you something which came to pass, that is what Deuteronomy 13 is saying. He may even tell you something that come to pass. But if he, even though it came to pass, let's read it. Deuteronomy 13 verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet, didn't say false prophet, a prophet and a dreamer of dreams, and give you a sign and a wonder, and that sign and wonder come to pass. Remember, the measure was if it doesn't come to pass in Deuteronomy 18, if it doesn't come to pass, then just get away from him. But in this case, it actually does come to pass. So this prophet has passed the test that their word comes to pass. Okay, that's test number one. Now, test number two. He now says unto you, let us go after other gods or do something that's contrary to the word of God, which thou hast not known, to serve them and so forth. Say, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams, for the Lord thy God proveth you to see whether you love the Lord and serve the Lord with all your heart and so forth, and shall walk after the Lord only and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice and serve him only and cleave unto him. And that prophet, you better get rid of him, scripture says. So, even when they say something that comes to pass and then they tell you something else that's not according to the word of God, you get away from it. That's what the Lord is saying. So, God said the Lord doesn't necessarily mean comes from the Lord. And did you know, one of the first commandments that the Lord gave to the children of Israel, what is it? I am the Lord, thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord God in vain. You know, taking the name of God in vain is this thing that people do every day on this platform. They speak presumptuously. You know, when I was a kid, I thought taking the name of the Lord in vain means to just use it in Nigeria. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, we just use the word, the name of God, you know, when you're trying to swear or do this and that. And I was taught that that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. Well, it was. But later on in life, I realized that taking the name of the Lord is vain is when you speak in the name of the Lord the thing which the Lord has not spoken. That is taking the name of the Lord in vain. Now, so all these prophets that speak the thing, you know, that the Lord has not spoken in the name of the Lord in order to cajole the people, well, the Lord will not hold guiltless him that taketh his name in vain. So I'm serving a warning to those people who are trying to take advantage of God's people by using the name of the Lord and serving them money. Warning now. The Bible says, well, you know, Ezekiel chapter 9, it says, get your slaughter weapons ready and start at my sanctuary. But there's always room for repentance. If people repent, the Lord will abundantly pardon and the Lord will have mercy. But if they repent not and harden their ways and continue to do the evil thing, you know, the time is coming when the Lord will say, enough of that. You know, so let everyone repent and come to the Lord and do the right thing. But that's on them. The part that's on you is what Jesus said. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into a ditch. You know, so the part that's on you is if the leaders are blind, then you should not be blind. You will only both fall into a ditch if two of you are blind. If the blind person is leading you and your own eyes are wide open, you will not fall into the ditch. So it's on you not to fall into the ditch with them. And that all goes back to you knowing yourself, that you yourself can walk in the prophetic. That's what it's all about. Which means you can hear from God yourself. God can speak directly to you yourself. Because the Holy Spirit is in you yourself. You don't need that anyone to teach you, because the Holy Spirit is teaching you all things. And not only that, he will even remind you of the things which he already told you. So all the things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. So in a nutshell, that's walking in the prophetic. And we're now in that realm, you know, that we should be walking in the prophetic. We should be hearing directly from God. God should be speaking to us. We should be able to communicate with God. And the Holy Spirit will communicate. How do I know it's the Spirit of God rather than something? Well, we dealt with that, I think, in lesson one. Jesus said, if you ask bread, God will not give you stone. You cannot ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit and then you get the leading of the devil. That's not going to happen. So assure yourself with that confidence. Know that it is the Lord. And more so, it will give you peace. There's a feeling of peace around the Word of God. Even when the Holy Spirit is rebuking you, even when he's correcting you, it will still be peaceful. There's no condemnation. He doesn't condemn you, only convicts you and corrects you. But there's this feeling of peace. And there is this thing that, you know, you just feel his peace when he speaks to you. That's how you know it. And any dream that doesn't, you come away with the dream or the vision or anything, any of these things that we have talked about, and out of it comes this fear, you know, then fear has torment. God didn't give you the dream to torment you. Yeah, you know, it's not from God. It may be a warning that you can pray against, but if it's a personal direction in your life and it's something that makes you afraid to go forward, then, you know, that fear is not of God. The righteous are bold as a lion. Praise God. But the wicked, they run even when nobody's pursuing them. And so God has not given us a spirit of fear, a bondage again to fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of a sound mind, boldness. We can say, Abba, Father. Now, let me summarize this walking in the spirit. You cannot engage God in the flesh. You can't do it. You know, we read it in John 6:63. But here's another one in Romans 8, verses 5 to 9. Let's read Romans 8, verses 5 to 9. This is walking in the Spirit. The summary of it is right here in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 9. And it's the same as walking in the prophetic. You know, it says, for they that are after the flesh. If you are in the flesh, you'll be minding the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, if your pursuit of God is after the things of the Spirit, the only way they pursue God is what God can do. Father, give me this. Father, give me that. Father, give me. You listen to their prayer. It's all about their job. It's about this. It's about that. It's about this promotion, that next car, that next house, and so forth. Unbelievers pray those prayers. If that's all your prayer is, then you are no different than an unbeliever. Unbeliever wants God to bless him. Save my pekino. Bless this. Oh, do this. Oh, do that. Oh, you know, unbelievers, they pray those prayers every day. It's no different. Now, it's different when you look at the prayer of the believer in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened, that I may know the things of God, that I may comprehend the love of Christ. Yeah? No unbeliever can pray those kind of prayers. Paul prayed that prayer in Ephesians 1. He prayed it again in Ephesians 3. Those are the prayer of the believer. Unbeliever cannot pray that. But every unbeliever can say, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. You know, when we are after the flesh, if our pursuit of God is only after the material things only, which is the flesh, then you mind the things of the flesh. And those that are in the flesh like that say, well, they cannot please God. But they that are after the spirit, they are the thing, people that their mind is on the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is dead. This is the same thing I was saying. You say, I don't want to hear his voice. I don't want to walk in the spirit. Then you are dead already. You know, so to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And everything about the leading of God leads to life, and it will give you peace. Now, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You can't do it. You cannot make the carnal mind to be subject to the spirit of God. Can't be. Because they're carnal. You know, they're only after the things of carnality. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye, see, this is it now. He's not going to tell you. You know, he has laid the foundation, but he's not going to tell you. But you are not in the flesh. You know, but you are in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you, then you are not in the flesh. You know, but if any man have not that spirit of Christ, then he is none of his. That's right. So, but if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. You know, so, and if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken, that's give life. Your mother bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit do modify these deeds of the flesh, you shall live. Now, this text we just read, this is walking in the spirit. And that's the same as walking in the prophetic. Prophetic just makes it look nice. It makes it look religious, you know, prophetic. But it's the same thing as walking in the spirit. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for walking in the spirit. I thought I would have time today to go into, you know, how to really hear from God in all these steps and these ways. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. But we covered walking in the prophetic today. From now, you can begin to walk in the prophetic. See yourself as a vessel of righteousness. Holy Spirit is in you. He can communicate with you. You can hear from him. You are his sheep. You can hear his voice. He can talk to you. You can talk to him. You don't need, a medium or, you know, intermediary. You know, God is right there with you. Praise God. And, not only that, look, we are the offspring of the living God. You know, so, you know, see yourself as such. Jesus saw himself as such. He wasn't boastful when he said, I am my father, I won. He was calling it like it was. It's not a boast, you know. So let's call it like it is. Ye are not in the flesh. If the spirit of God is in you, if the spirit of God is in you, then, you know, be like the spirit of God. Don't try to be, just be, because he's already in you. Be like the spirit of God. Praise God. So this is what walking in the prophetic gate. And it encompasses all these other ways. When you are in the spirit of God, God can talk to you through any of these means that we've talked about. 12 or 13 of them that we've talked about. And, you know, you can recognize it because you are in the same realm. You understand he's moving. You know, so this walking in the spirit summarizes all of them. You may call it walking in the prophetic, but the scripture calls it walking in the spirit. Same thing. And you will hear his voice because he says, my sheep hear my voice. The voice may be a still small voice. It may be an audible voice. He may speak to you in dreams and visions. He may speak to you even in circumstances around you. And more importantly, he speaks to you through the written word that you already have. But one way or another, he will speak to you. And you will hear his voice because you are his sheep. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray here and end today's lesson. I thought I was going to end the lesson, the series here today, but I think there's still room for me to do how to really flow in these things. And then maybe we'll realize, because some people are still on the quest of, how do I discover what God has for me in my life? Well, we spend all this time trying to help us understand how God may be leading us and may be speaking to us. So that will help you better answer that question. But if there's still any doubt, we'll come back and we will deal with that specifically. But don't forget, that we now walk in the Spirit. When we were Gentiles and we were without God, we did the things like that. Now that we're in the commonwealth of Israel, in the household of faith, well, we do these things. When I was a child, I behaved like a child. Now when I'm grown up, I put away childish things. So in the past, when I had no understanding of God and no understanding of these things, I was carried away by the craftiness of men and the sleight of men and so on. Now, when I have understanding of this, I'm not going to be carried away by somebody purporting to be a prophet when I myself can be walking in the prophetic all the time. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, I pray for the mind of Christ to be in us. Paul said, we're not ignorant of the devices of the devil because we have the mind of Christ. May we also demonstrate the mind of Christ. Teach us, Lord, to come in and stay in. Come into your presence and stay in. Not go in and out, in and out, in and out. Come in and stay in. Help us, Lord, to put aside the things, to lay aside the things that so easily distract you. And run with patience the race that is set before you. Help us, Lord, put aside these things, these distractions. And then we run with patience that race. And we hear his voice. We follow him. And he gives to us eternal life. And we can never perish. Nobody can pluck us out of his hand. We give you, Lord, the praise. Thank you for the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. Our personal guide through life. He will guide you into all truth. We show you even things to come. You will testify of me, Christ said. He will take of mine and show it to you. And he will guide you into all truth. Thank you, Lord. May we continue daily to flow in the Spirit of God. Help us, Lord, to expunge all the blockers, the debris that's blocking the pipe of the Holy Spirit so it cannot flow through. Let's get rid of it, the kinks and the debris, so that he can flow through. Thank you, Lord, for showing us these things. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.